Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same thing.
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I'd probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning. Yeah, this is Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. And it's me and I think, do we have Mr. Dave Sparky? I hear him.
What do you hear?
I hear it sounds like you're eating breakfast over there. I don't know. No, nothing at all. Just a little, the usual microphone crackle that you get. So,
yeah, I have to start fooling around with my microphone. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning, man. I wish I wasn't here. Actually,
Where would you rather be?
I'd rather be at Conglomeration with our good friend Mr. Garman. He's down living it up, living the good life down in Louisville at the Conglomeration convention. We're going to try to give him a call in a little bit. I don't expect him to answer. I really don't. Hopefully he's having too much fun. He just doesn't want to, you know, who wants to take time away? If I was there, I wouldn't want to be taking time away to talk to me.
Plus, they've got some fabulous guests there. He throws a great event every year. It's a shame neither one of us could make it. I just moved. I know you have your issues. We just couldn't get down this year. Maybe next year.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah. Every year I was really hoping this year was going to work out. It just got so tough with it being. Right on Easter weekend, my family does celebrate Easter. We got things going on this weekend between church and Easter egg hunting and hanging out with friends and family and all that. And I just, as much as my wife is always happy to see the back of me, this just wasn't a weekend. This wasn't a weekend for it to happen. So, oh man! But we'll bring him in later. Now, so we'll see if we can get Jay on to talk about it. If he can't talk about it this week, we'll definitely talk to him about it next week. Get some of the highlights and high points of the weekend that is happening. It's still not too late. I mean, if people are really geeked about it, want to make it happen for themselves, you can drive down today or show up today. It's happening today and tomorrow. And in fact, let's see. Oh yeah, tomorrow will be the last day. So you want to get down there today and say hi to Jay for us. I think
and Louisville, appreciate- Kentucky. I know they had some flooding, but it's pretty much dried up a bit and. You can get in and out if you need to.
Yep. Exactly. And should have no problem. It's at the Ramada Plaza Hotel, same place as last year. So that's cool. Like I said, hopefully we'll talk to Jane a little bit. But also too, now if we don't, we'll hear from him next week. But then also too, next week I confirmed we're going to have a good friend of the show, Mike Miller, is going to come on. He's going to talk to us about this whole Windows 10 thing that's happening. And
oh, great.
Yeah.
We could use more information, some clarification about what they mean when the upgrades are going to be free for everybody.
Exactly. Not only that, but supposedly this is kind of, well, they skipped Windows 9 and then supposedly this Windows 10 is good stuff. It's supposed to be, better. It basically takes the best of Windows 7 and Windows 8, which there was some, a little bit of frustration from some people on, and combines it into one really nice package with Windows 10. I've seen some previews of it and preview information, and I got to say, yeah, it looks like the Windows that I want. You know, Windows 8 looked like the Windows that, Microsoft thought I should want.
See, that's where we disagree. I actually like Windows 8 a lot. I mean, it's not without its faults, and none of the generations have been. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy it. I'm looking forward to Windows 10, and I'm especially looking forward to free upgrades for all the way back to XP, because I know lots of people that are running XP still, and the people I care about, and I worry about them because Microsoft stops supporting it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then of course you've got, you know, the whole idea that they're going to really kind of be competing head to head with Google on this idea of the cheap laptop and offering, you know, I've been hearing prices like $150 for a full blown Windows 10.
Spit it out, the whole thing.
I, you know, just a Windows 10 operating system, a working machine, free upgrades, you know, for the around the same price point or less than you would get one of the Chromecast, which I've talked so highly about the Chromecast. And you know, and now maybe, you know, maybe I'll have to rethink it. I don't know. I guess we'll talk to Mr. Miller next week and see what he has to say about it. And so we should hold
can't,
that.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
And have you heard about Google's come out with a computer stick? What are they calling it? With Asus, mm-hmm. they've teamed up with them for like the $100 price range they're projecting. You just plug this thing. It's like a, you know, it's an HDMI connector.
Yep.
Stick. You plug it in, and your display becomes a computer. However, in the article I have about it, and somebody asked me this later when I was talking about it, they don't say anything about how you hook up a keyboard and all that.
It brings a whole bunch of interesting ideas to the fore. I think a keyboard, what you probably would be able to do is, I don't know if they have Bluetooth in it or not. I mean, of course, you got a lot of Bluetooth keyboards. I'd hate to think what they would wind up doing is, you know, you would connect your other device, like your smartphone or your tablet, and use that keyboard. But that might be kind of what's happening. I'm not sure. I'm surprised a little bit that it took this long. There's been other solutions similar to this ever since the Google Chromecast started hitting the market. You got your Raspberry Pis. Now, Raspberry Pi is also, too, there's a, I'm not sure who's doing this. It's not from the raspberrypi.org site, but there is a company that's producing now Raspberry Pi based full-blown laptops. Very, very cheap, running Linux, kind of like what I've got I'm running right now, except I didn't do it with a Raspberry Pi, you know, $35 breadboard. I did it with my old Sony Vaio laptop. But it's going to be, I think, something similar to that, that you'll be able to put together either on your own or have them put together for you. Very low specs, very low price, but, you know, hey, enough functionality for today's world that maybe...
Well, yeah, well, and the convenience to just think about it, you know... How many hours have you spent hunched over in a hotel room, hunched over a laptop? Here you could just take, every hotel room has a television with an HD input, probably. Yeah. And you just plug this in, and away you go. And you've got a big screen computing capability.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Well, and then, you know, you combine it with some of the things that we do, watching YouTube, watching other videos, and all this. Now, hotel, unfortunately, I've tried this. I've tried this. The Wi-Fi in hotels is rarely good enough to get, you know, HDMI quality out of anything. But being said,
a stream of some sort. Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, and Google's out to that's another big push, right? That better Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yes, yes, and our good friends Comcast are stepping up to the plate. They're saying,
we're friends now.
I use the term friends.
Like, we've got a love-hate relationship with Comcast. Sometimes they're our friends. Sometimes they're our worst enemy. Right?
They do support the station, so I must make that clear that they do support the station. There has been a lot of sort of negative press about them. This is a positive press thing. In a blog post just this last couple of days, the Comcast announced that they're going to start offering internet speeds up to 2 gigabits per second. And that's, they want to do this to the majority of their subscribers. They want to make it available to the majority of their, and they've got nearly 22 million subscribers by the end of this year. That's by the end of 2015. Now, the highest that you can get right now is about half that, about 1 gigabit. And that's only being offered in the cities that that Google's in. And 2 gigabits is, they're reporting as 80 times as fast as Comcast's standard broadband internet plan. Now, I pay for the slightly upgraded Comcast speed, and I'll be interested to see what the cost of the 2 gigabit per second speed is. That seems a lot more than what what I'm going to need right now. I do know that they're right now. So the Xfinity, I am going to throw a price out there just so people have an idea. So the Xfinity Extreme 505 service is about half a gigabit. So that's 500 megabits per second. So it's a quarter of the speed that they're expecting for this new service. That Xfinity Extreme right now costs right around like $400 a month. So I don't think in my household we're we're gonna be upgrading.
Yeah, I don't think Mary's gonna go for it.
No. I don't think we're gonna. Now the Google Fiber is offering its gigabit connections like in Austin, Texas for less than a quarter of that cost of their half a gig, and they're offering the gig pricing. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where the pricing comes out. I know last week, I think we reported on this, and I'll mention it again in case we didn't, was that in areas where AT&T has been involved offering high-speed internet, and Google has come in and offered their high-speed competitive internet pricing as well. Guess what? AT&T gets a lot cheaper.
Oh my! Yeah. So, well, see, all this is making me very sad. This discussion, because I've just moved to rural Ontario, and I have rural DSL.
Oh no!
Internet.
Yeah.
So I have yet to hit. I'm paying for 5 megabytes. I'm paying for 5 megabytes a second, and I haven't got there yet. I haven't in my speed tests. I haven't got there.
So. Oh man! Oh, I remember those days. Does it go when it connects in? Like you know, just to make you feel good, like something's happening.
No. Well, that's the provider I have now, and I went with this provider, you know, as a part of a bundle deal. There's another provider that claims higher speeds, and I might check them out.
Oh, okay.
But we're talking on my cell phone. I've my cell phone Wi-Fi, cellular Wi-Fi is much faster, but to upgrade to the gigs you need costs a fortune on cellular Wi-Fi here. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, speaking of cell phones too, since we're talking about cell and cell phone stuff. I'm finally making it. I'm able to do it. Is my Galaxy Note, and I'll shout out care of Verizon, who has allowed me to hold on to this to test some of the service and stuff. Is the only phone I have right now that is, and in fact, as we speak, I'm watching the screen as we speak. It's upgrading to Lollipop. So I'm
pretty cool.
I'm excited about that. So Lollipop.
Breaking news.
Yes, there we go. So Lollipop, for those that aren't aware of it, is the newest. It's the freshest version of the Google Android operating system for your phone. A lot of the phones, if you're not like rocking a Google phone, are not there yet. But the Note 4 is finally is jumped on board, and it's installing. Now, we talked to a representative from Google back when this was first coming out. Promises a whole change in the speed, the capabilities, but also kind of a cleaner, simpler look with the, I can't remember what they call it. They don't call it Metro, but they've got some name for what the icon set looks like, and a little flatter look, which is sort of the new thing. This stuff is so trendy, you know. It's so trendy. It's like, oh, I want everything to look really 3D and shiny, like a glass bubble, you know. And that's yesterday. Now it's, I want it to look super flat and like nothing, you know. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm kind of excited to check it out. I have heard there's some issues with it, specifically with my phone model, in fact. But you know, but hey, that's the kind of guy I am. I'm right there on the edge. I'm saying, you know what? I'll take those lumps and I'll report back on them to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So, give you something to talk about. I actually had my hands on one. I've sort of looking at the possibility of a new phone, and the Note is not, you know, the image you have with the Note is a big, gigantic thing. It's really not that big.
Yeah.
Compared to the, you know, the S3s and the S5s and all that there, compared to the iPhones. Yeah. But some of the bigger smartphones, it's not that big.
No. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, we had at the same time, I was fortunate enough to have, and this was not care of Verizon, but care of LG, an LG G3 that they set me up at the same time that Verizon was setting me with the Note 4 and comparing them head to head. And, you know, I expected that Note 4 to just, you know, be essentially, you couldn't walk around with it, you know. It would be getting to the, you know, your hip bones would be hitting it or something if it was in your pocket. Yeah. But it's really not that much bigger than the G3. And for the quality of the speed, the screen, and the just a touch of extra size for little things you want to do, I don't have a problem with it. I would have a tough time, I think, now in many ways going back to one of the smaller form factor screens and smaller form factor
really
phones.
Really,
yeah,
yeah. Wow, that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no, that's it. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I've had trouble with the battery on my I'm under contract still. I got locked into a 3-year contract for a Galaxy S3. And I've had trouble with the battery since from day one, right? It's, you know, battery life was never great.
Yeah.
So now the current battery just finally bit the dust, and I've ordered an extended battery. Have you seen these things?
I haven't seen one in person, but I've heard about them, that they add a little bit of extra weight and depth, though, to your
phone. It basically takes your – it hasn't come yet, but it takes your svelte, tiny, thin cellular phone and turns it into something like the old remote-controlled, you know, or phones that you'd have in the house, right, from the 70s or the 80s. So yeah. It probably doubles more than doubles the thickness and the weight. So, but it gives you a lot more power.
Okay. Well, I'll be interested to hear how that works. I've often thought of that myself. Now that's one thing I got to say about, now I've got an S3 and an S4 myself, at home. My son actually has the S3 that used to be my wife's. I gave my wife my S4 when I moved on to some of the other things.
How old is your son?
He's 13. So
he's got an S3.
So here's how that works though, is, we're not paying for any sort of cell service for him. And I told him that, but he's got Wi-Fi. He's got a Google account. He's got Google Voice and Hangouts and Skype. And so we can connect with him anytime he's on Wi-Fi. It's all good. He can't make phone calls out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, we have that going on. I installed some mobile device management software, Meraki, and I can actually not only know when he's in a Wi-Fi space, but I know exactly geographically, like where he is on a map. I can chart that, and I can send him things too. If he's in Wi-Fi, I not only can call him, but if he's not responding, I can force his phone to let out this just ear-splitting, obnoxious a siren alert, you know, and then all that, which has helped us find the phone too, but also too, it's tough to get his attention sometimes, even in person. So you can imagine, you know, if he's sometimes
just like his dad.
Yeah, I know. It's the truth. Oh man. You know, since we're on this whole cell and Chrome, Android, Google stuff here, I should mention, good friend of the show, good friend, personally, a longtime listener of the show, young lady, who's local here, she turned me on to Google has released this new thing called Arc Welder. It's an Arc Welder is an app. It's an extension essentially that goes into your Chrome browser and get this, lets you run Google Android apps. in your browser. So, you know,
apps that you've already purchased for another device.
Sure. Yeah. You can get them out of the Google Play Store, download them, and then load them up in here. Now, some aren't going to work great, but most of the ones that I've played with are fairly simple and straightforward, and they work wonderfully. They work wonderfully. Candy Crush Saga, if that's, you know, you're big into that for some reason, that works like a charm. Now, I'm doing app development myself. This is what I got excited about, because I'm actually developing an application for WRLR. It's not quite ready for prime time yet, but it's very, very close. That will allow you to just, I mean, it does one thing and it does it well, which is it brings up the WRLR stream and allows you to play that, show sponsors, things like this.
Way overdue. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was about time. Well, it was way overdue for me to learn and really get into mobile app development. I'm very excited about it. Very cool thing. Of course, with Android, everything out there, it's free. You can just grab stuff and just like grab the Android SDK. Yeah, it takes some time to learn how to do it. But if you've got a background in any of the major programming languages, Java, JavaScript, C, C Sharp, anything like this, or any of the newer development tools, you'll have no problems, as I didn't, picking it up relatively quickly and all that. What starts to get a little tougher when you get beyond the I want a button and I'm going to do this one thing. If you want to do like some back and forth information transfer, it gets a little hinky, a little tougher. And I'm running into some of my upper, you know, hitting that glass ceiling of where my chops sort of end. And so I'm having fun with it though. Shouts out to Fusion Tables from Google. I'm using that right now as an external data store for like sponsor lists and things that we're going to, you know, put and show on the application. And the part that I'm having a little trouble with is doing, I want to add a couple of, you know, the ability for people to say, hey, that Tech Talk show just stinks, man. And just, you know, put thumb down. Or better yet, say, hey, the Tech Talk show I'm listening to right now is awesome. And hit a thumbs up button that would shoot into a database something that would say, you know, this time, this date, this was the show that was playing, and we had, you know, 50 listeners say, this is the best thing since sliced bread, or we had 20 listeners say, that was a Christmas song, and it's June. What are you guys doing? You know?
So good. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. The feedback will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, and so that's fun to play with. And this arc welder, what this means is rather than, and I've told you how, you know, it really, my benighted little bio here, you know, how poor it is on the resources side. I can't really run a bunch of virtual machines in it easily. And that's typically how you would do a Linux, or, you know, using Linux, you would, sort of beta test and demo and run on your machine your applications so you can check them out. With this now, I've done this, I can create a package file out of my Android SDK builder. I'm using Eclipse right now, and develop that, throw it into Chrome, and look at it just as if it was on a phone. And I don't have to bring my phone out. I don't have to install a new API and all this other business. I just load it up right there and start playing with it and run into, you know, whatever issues I have.
And who turned you on to that?
A good friend of the show, Barb. So, so shouts out to her. I'm not going to throw out her last name just because, I don't know. I don't know what people want. People don't want to be famous. I don't know. So,
something. Anyway, you know, it's nice to get part of her name out there.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll let her do it. She's posting on the Facebook page for us all the time. Anyways, facebook.com/techtalkWRLR, which people should be going to. I've given you the ability to post stuff on there, and you're not doing it yet. You've got.
I have not taken the time. Well, first of all, I've moved.
I know. Which, congrats, by the way, and good on you that you did it, and you didn't call me and ask me to come and help you. So I
need to call you.
I don't know. If you want me to come up to Canada, yeah. You know, it's because I'm not driving around a sweet, you know, midlife. Corvette. You know, to.
I was told years ago I was too old for a midlife crisis. So now this is more of an end life crisis.
Oh man! Oh no! Yeah. Don't say that! Don't say that! No, you're never too old. You're never too. I say this out of complete envy and jealousness. You know, I'm green. green, yeah. If I could get a green Corvette, I would do it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. It's just, Michael, it's just an old Chevy. That's all it is.
it's a Chevy Vet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's four wheels and a motor. That's everything. You know, everything else is just frosting. Anyway. So. But I have not sorted out. I have not gotten. I don't know how to post. I haven't figured out how to post on to the WRLR Facebook page.
Well, it should be pretty straightforward. So what we're talking about for people that aren't aware, we're saying, so we have the Facebook page, and anybody can set up a page for yourself in Facebook, you know, and you go to Facebook. If you've got an account, you can add a new page and create a new page however you want to. So we created ours, or I created ours, I should say, a while ago, facebook.com/techtalkwrlr, real easy to remember. You can set that up too. One of the options that you have is to add other people as editors, administrators, owners, whatever you want to set up. I don't know why I hadn't seen Dave on Facebook much, so I just hadn't added you as an editor, but I did that. I think you just have to go in there to the page and figure it out.
They sent me the stats about the visits and stuff, but I just haven't dug deep into it. As I said, think there's a bit on the plate here.
But you're in a beautiful new home now, and gorgeous views out the window, I'm sure, and all that, right?
You wouldn't believe it. It's fantastic. We're right on. I'm looking at the Chemung Lake, which is part of the Kawarthas lake system up here, and part of the Trent water system. At the front window, out the back, I've got rolling fields.
Oh, wow!
I've got cows for neighbor. Well, they're not here right now, but eventually there'll be cows.
Very cool. Cows are more dangerous than sharks. So
are they really?
They absolutely kill more people every year by a order of magnitude easily than sharks do. So beware of the cow.
Well, thanks for the warning. But I've got. We've got electric fence. We've got electric fences. So
oh, okay. Well, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just stay within the fence, you know, and
maybe I understand they'll occasionally, mule at you, you know, when they're out here. So maybe we could actually capture that live on air one day.
I like it. Or record it. We'll play it. We'll play a recorded on it. You know,
there you go. I could go out with my digital recorder and see if I can get and do an interview with the cow.
Absolutely. I think it'd be great.
The dangerous, deadly cow. So there's shark NATOs. What do we have for cows? What cow, you know,
can you,
not a cow, a cow NATO?
Cowacane? I don't know.
A cowcane or cowfoon.
Yeah, cowfoon. I like that. Yeah. I think that'll work. A cow, a bovine, bofoon. Yeah. I don't know.
I thought I was going to, in a nice, safe area. Now you've got me worried that I'm going to get attacked by a cow.
If they start putting in palm trees with coconuts in them, then that's when you need to be worried. Okay. Coconuts also kill more people than sharks do every year. So, you know, there's... There's a lot.
You're just a wealth of information, aren't you?
I got into the gaming spirit. I can't be down in conglomeration, but I got everybody going and excited about some North Star Gaming that we did. Now, North Star Games, I beta tested one of their games that came out this last year, the last time we were there, which was called Evolution. Now, with the family, though, we played this awesome game called Wits and Wagers. Love this game. Great party game. Ton of fun. And they just have...
Wits and Wagers.
For anybody who hasn't tried, where's my ding ding ding? I should be getting some promo sponsorship or something for this. But no, I love it enough. I don't care. It's a great game. If you're looking for a good party game, it's a blast. The basic idea is you get all these insane, crazy, bizarre trivia questions that nobody's gonna know. You know, you might think you know within a little bit, you know, with a couple percentage, but you're probably wrong. And so it'll be something like, what's the length of the Statue of Liberty's right arm, you know, in feet? And so everybody will write down what their best guess is, and then you have a couple of tokens and chips you get to bet and see which one you think is right. So you don't have to bet it for yourself. If you think you screwed up, you just, you know, hey, oh, that was a much better answer. And then you get payout from that. And the end of the game, you see who's got the most chips and who wins. The nice thing is the last round, you have the option to bet all of your chips. You can go all in. All in, baby.
Well, this actually game sounds great for different applications. You know, I work with seniors that have cognitive issues sometimes, mm-hmm. and this sounds like this might work for them.
Yeah, you know, it really forces. And the thing I like about it is, so our daughter, who is 9, now this is a great game for her to start learning the art of estimation, and she really has to think about things. It forces you to really think about. You know, the Statue of Liberty question is a great example. It's like you think, okay, how tall is that thing? And then my arm is what, 1/2 or how much of my body? I assume it's going to be close to that. And start making these analyses. It's a wonderful game. And any age can play and still have fun because the answers and the questions are so crazy that you don't lose because you don't know things. You lose because you don't pick the right answers or, you know, bet the right way and have fun with that. And you do it as teams too. You don't have to be the lone ranger out there trying to figure stuff. You can have teams that, that work together to do that.
Cool.
So
I'm honest. I've Googled it and I see that it's retailers have it, but it's not electronic at all, right? It's a simple board game, right?
No electronics at all. Yeah, no, we try to do that every once. As much as I love all the electronica, we try to pull out some good old school tabletop board game fun every once in a while and make that happen.
I think it's a good idea.
Speaking of board games and game and fun, let's see if we can get Jay on here. I don't know that he'll join us, and I've told him specifically that sleep and gaming are far more important than talking to us, not in that order necessarily, but
yeah, I thought that was very generous of you to say that.
I know if I were him, I definitely would not be answering the phone right now. I'd be looking at it. I'd be going, are you kidding me? That's what I'd be saying.
You've reached.
Yeah, all right. That's what I thought. Good for you, Jay. Yeah. Tell those Tech Talk guys. He's probably holding the phone up and showing it to his friends at the table right now going, do you see this? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? These guys are calling me right now.
Yeah. Well, so, it works all year to put that on. You know, why not enjoy every minute of it?
Absolutely. And he and the rest of the crew down there just do an absolutely phenomenal job every year of putting this thing together. It's a tremendous amount of work for people that haven't been associated with a convention or, an event of this size and nature. It's just, there's so much that goes into the logistics of it, dealing with people's issues, not only up to the event, but of course during the event, and trying to manage that and have fun at the same time yourself is not an easy, thing to do.
No, it's not. So, not at all. Speaking of not easy things to do.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a couple important anniversaries this weekend. Yesterday was the 5th anniversary of the introduction of the iPad.
Really? The 5th? I didn't, and it's only 5. Oh my gosh. Wow, I did not know. I missed that anniversary. I think I know one of the other ones you're going to mention, but I missed that one. Wow, 5 years. I feel like I've had my iPad for 5 years. You know,
I'm surprised you have one at all. You and I both, to our eternal embarrassment, panned it just based on the specs. When we heard what the specs were when it came out, the two of us were like, that's a piece of junk. It's going to, I personally said it's going to set tablet computing back for years.
Yep. No, I felt the same way. I felt the same way. And I thought what it would do would be hamper that uptake of going to tablets from the laptop, and I just didn't think that a tablet would really be able to be a part. I mean, we had phones were getting bigger. I was like, why would you do it? What would be the point? Now I've had one for a long time. I've got one myself. So.
Well, see, I was very keen on tablets. I had, you know, I brought some into the station one time. I had lots of tablets before. I was just waiting for a good tablet to come out. I didn't realize that it had, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Yes. And the original forecasts for the sales were the first year they thought from April to the end of the year, they thought maybe 1 million would sell. That was with some of the low forecasts, and the wild forecasts were 7 million. The wildly high were 7 million. Mm-hmm. Turns out they sold 14 million in the first year.
Oh, that's Steve. He knew what he was doing. I got to say, you may not have liked him personally, but he knew a few things. He knew what to do. He knew what to do, man. Yeah, no, that's it's cool. I do like my iPad. No, here's an interesting thing. So I our station manager Bish, he knows that I'm making this app for the Android. It's for the Android phone, is what it is. And was asking, oh, you gonna do an iPhone version? And I laughed. I was like, no, I'm not going to do an iPhone. It's so tough. It's so tough to do an iPhone version of an app. Unless you're doing that, unless that's your thing. It's like a whole different sort of deal. And it's also tough to get apps approved in there because Apple has done such a great job of kind of locking their environment down and making it so that it's always really useful or usable, and that you don't have the problems like you do with, you know, and I'll be the first to admit this, that you do with a Google Android or a Google Chrome and the other things. It just runs, and it runs smoothly without a lot of issues.
Yeah, but it's a huge market though. Take a wild guess how many apps there are for an iPad an iPhone.
For the iPhone. 25,000. I'm sure it's more than that. It's got to be
750,000.
See, that would be a great wits and wagers question right there.
Man, oh man, wow. Yeah. So, and 5 years. Think about that. The other big anniversary, and that certainly has changed. Not only did we've talked about this before. Not only did that change computing, but just consumer electronics. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
What it set records all over the place, what the iPad sales did.
Yeah, well, and we were talking earlier
another
about that.
Big landmark.
I was going to mention too, we were just talking earlier about that, you know, that change in the Google look and feel for their newest version, Lollipop version, going from the bubbly, glassy look to the flat look. Apple's been a style trendsetter in that way as well for the entire period of time. You know, people have really cleave to making their applications and the operating systems look like Apple. And so, you know, that's got to be
Fonts, you know, that was a Steve Jobs innovation. So rounded corners on Windows and stuff. It's a much more pleasant experience because of Apple's innovation. But the iPad, just totally has changed the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you were just about to jump into the other big anniversary, and I think I know where you're going with this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, today. It's actually today. Today's the 40th anniversary of the formation of Microsoft.
Yep. 40 years. That's crazy, too.
And talk about changing the world. I mean, so we're talking 1974 and 75, rather, and the first like company photograph, everybody, they all look like the guys all look like Taliban, you know, with their beards and long hair.
It's true. Yeah. It was a different world back then, 1975, it's crazy. I was not old enough to be a part of that crew. But
well, and Gates looks like he's 14.
Yes.
And their objective, they wanted to see a computer in everybody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was thought upon as a ridiculous idea at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And and you can find this online, is a lot of places have published. Bill Gates sent an email out to all of his all the Microsoft employees honoring this and talking about just a little bit of a touch on that history and that background. And really sharing some of his excitement about what he expects to be seen in the coming years. And also, too, confirming his support for Satya, who is the CEO right now of Microsoft. And, and looking forward to things he mentions, like Skype Translator, which is their Cortana, which is their answer to Siri. And also mentioned, I haven't played with this, the HoloLens. Have you played with the HoloLens at all?
I have no idea what the HoloLens is. I think I did read about it. I can't recall right now.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm not really sure what it is either. I'm rapidly doing a Google search as we talk. Of course, I should be doing a Bing search, right? But
Bing, by the way, I don't know if I've actually covered this on air or not, but I have slammed Bing many times on this program. Bing has gotten much better. I'm still not using it as a default search engine or anything like that, but it's gotten a lot better than it used to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree too. I have been using Bing a bit myself lately. And I was kind of curious about it. They sort of pulled me in because they have this, what you call a Bing Rewards deal, and so you can go in, and if you search, then you get, you know, little tokeny credit things that you can use, and it takes like a bazillion and one, you know, to get anything that you'd actually want. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you'd search, you know, a thousand times a day, and then finally you'd have enough for like a $5 credit at Amazon or something. But it was enough to get me like, you know, oh well, I should check it, and doing that, and it's, you know, I've been pleasant. Pleasantly surprised or impressed with Bing as a search engine, you know,
good
alternative. Yeah. So,
and speaking of Microsoft, also they made news a few months ago, or maybe even as much as a year ago, that they were going to by default, when you upgraded your browser, to put Do Not Track as the default setting, and now they've reversed themselves on that.
Ah.
Yeah. So if you want not to be tracked, you have to reset it yourself.
Okay. Okay. I hadn't heard about that. That hadn't come through my feed. But that doesn't surprise me much, really.
They were the only ones. Well, there's so much financial pressure. There's so much money to be made.
Yeah.
Anything you subscribe to or any app you have, they all make money off of that data. So,
of course,
any advertisers that, you know, you connect to, so everybody else, all the other major browsers had that by default that you would be tracked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, it's not really surprising that they would back down on that. And there is a lot of value and use to it, not only for, you know, the companies and the advertising, whatever, but also for the people too. You know, the people too, right, that are users, you know, users, us. There's a lot of value for there being this sort of persistent knowledge of things that I'm interested in, you know, and that I might want to know about, as opposed to, oh, I have to pretend that I have no information about you and I'm just going to randomly throw ads at you. That's a terrible place to be. You know, it's much better to have that information known. I love Google now, and I use that on my phone, and it's a wonderful thing. It knows from my calendar and from things that I'm interested in. It's like, it'll tell me, it's like, hey, you know, it's going to take you 10 minutes right now to get to your kid's school. And I need to know that because, you know, I've got a school board meeting that night or something. And it's great to have that just kind of popping up. Oh, you know, I should mention, by the way, this is the last chance. So this is only, you know, local podcast listeners aren't going to care. It's going to be too late. And if you're not listening local, you're not going to care because you can't do anything about it. But for people that listen locally or that are in the Mundelein School District area, which is District 76, Diamond Lake, Tuesday, man, that's the day. You got to vote for me. I'm running for the school board, and I'm first on the list. As a matter of fact, I am the top of the ballot there. So,
Well, good luck.
I went and I voted.
Good luck.
I did early voting. I dragged my wife along. I was afraid to ask, but I'm pretty sure she voted for me. I don't know. I'm hoping. Anyways, got my fingers crossed. If I lose by one vote, I told her that's it. I know it was her. And but you know what, you know, so I'm gonna do this though too. I'm gonna throw it down a little bit. So you know, I've had this campaign. I got a campaign website. You can go look, castler76.strikingly.com. I love it. Strikingly, we had the creators of Strikingly on air a couple years ago. Great group of guys, and also too, a great product, and really easy to put this thing together. It looks phenomenal, and it's not due to me. I'm not, you know, it looks phenomenal because it's such an easy website to use. So that's cool. I didn't think there would be negative campaigning, though, Dave. I got to say, I thought this is a local school board election. It's on the up and up. People are excited about working together. It's about really working together and doing things for your kids. Oh, no. One of the candidates, I'm not going to throw any names out there because I'm not going to play that. But one of the candidates, there's this flyer going around talking about how she's going to put an end to sweetheart deals and under the table transactions or something like this. And it's like, what? You're going to get, you realize you get elected. You do this, you get elected. It's not like running for the president where you could just fire everybody. You know, you got to work with all the people that you're accusing of rolling briefcases of cash under the table. You know?
Yeah. Well, politics is heady stuff. So, you know, and it's, so it works out perfect for you.
Well, yeah. That's great.
But I've seen that kind of thing on not-for-profit boards and everything else where people, you know, just a tiny little bit of power can really alter people's behavior in a way that's not fun.
Yeah, I just didn't. It took me by such surprise when I saw this. I'm like, really? And I kind of know this person too, you know, not super well, but I know them reasonably. Yeah. It's like, you're not. That's not who you are, is it? I mean, come on, that can't be. You know, I know she's a nice lady. She's very concerned about the district and the students and making things work right for the teachers and you know, making education happen. You know, which is what we're all about. I know that's what she's like too. And then you get this thing in the mail, like, you know, we're gonna keep everybody from stealing money anymore. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, if I get on Lair, I'm gonna make sure that everybody stops beating their wives. It's like, how do you even respond to it? You know, it's like, what do you mean?
Well, you're gonna have to learn to respond to it. I mean, this is just the first of many surprises you're going to have.
It's
a whole different aspect of human nature, boards and that sort of thing. So it's going to be great. It's a growth opportunity, as they say, right?
Yes. Well, I've been very honored to have been an interim board member for the last several months and enjoying my time on the board. And it's a great group of people. It really is. We've been talking about it. It's like as fun as it would be to have some of the people that are running right now that have not served on the board be part of the board too. And I think that will be an exciting thing and a change if that occurs. I love working with these people that are on the board right now. I'm going to be sad if they're not there or if I'm not part of it too. So,
yeah, well, that's another aspect of it. That's stuff you can't control.
Yeah.
I mean, you make your best effort, but oftentimes you love your current group. Through the next election cycle, you could be working with somebody that you don't want anything to do with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and this is a tough time for us in the district, and it's District 76 Diamond Lake, in that we've got a new superintendent we're looking to hire because our current superintendent is leaving. We've got union negotiations coming up this year at some point. The contract will be out. We haven't started that process yet, but we've started talking about it for sure. You just got a ton of stuff happening. New programs coming in, one-to-one programs started and is doing really well. Changes in so much of the legislation surrounding school districts too in Illinois, and the, you know, everybody's heard of park testing and everybody's heard of all the different assessment models, and Illinois is even changing the way that they interpret those assessments and moving to a growth model. And then we're looking at different options for what to do with our very old and decrepit buildings and how to deal with that, you know. So
it's really a time for everybody with a position of responsibility to be at their best. And that will be your job, is to remind them of that.
And I'm gonna make sure that you know, that flow of sweetheart cash deals and under the table, it's gonna stop. If I'm elected, I'm stopping all of that. And I don't know.
Well, we were on a group email, weren't we? And one of the folks on the group email was a seasoned Lake County politician, and we were discussing smears, right? And they just in a minute, in the blink of an eye, they came up with a fantastic smear.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So you know, you have to watch out for that. That's the name of the game these days. Smears has become an art form. It's like, it can be the currency of the realm, right?
Apparently so. Man, I don't know. I had to throw that out. I had to get it off my chest. You know, there's got to be some benefit to doing the show, right? Is that once in a while I get to get something like that off my chest? I'll remind people again, though, whether you're in my district or not, I don't care. April 7th here in Illinois is the date for voting. If you miss the early voting period, you can still go there on Tuesday. I think it's pretty much all day. Just go figure out where your polling place is. It's important. It's really important. People don't realize it. These midterm, you know, midway elections and so on. This is when the things that really impact you, those people get elected. Your local library boards, your local treasury, and community boards, your school boards, all these little local things that are happening that you're like, oh, who cares? It's not the president of the U.S. You can't really impact the president of the U.S. that much, in your little local community. To some degree, yeah, you got to vote for them. But these are people that really are going to impact your daily life and your children and your experience in your community. There's nothing more important than that. And going out and making a statement for that. So vote now, vote early, vote often, vote for me if you can.
Don't you have an app?
I gotta create an app for that. Actually, you know what? That Kassler76.strikingly.com, that'll come up beautifully on a mobile device. It's a dynamic design, so it'll do that. Mm-hmm. It'll work that way for you. I see Rob Rigel. Rob shot first. He's on the deck right now. He's looking at the clock. He's like, what? Oh, me? Who? Where? But he's ready to go. I know he is. He's got a lot to talk about today.
He's not accustomed to any acknowledgement before 1 minute before the hour.
Usually, 2 minutes after he's supposed to be on is when I'm like, I forgot. There's Rob. Rob shot first. He is going to shoot me one of these days. The Rob shot first designation is not going to be metaphorical or referential. It's going to be literal because he wants to get on. And I'm going to let him do that today. We're going to bring him on.
Thank you.
He says thank you. So we got about 2 minutes left though, and so my cool side of the week, I already talked about it. I'm just gonna have that arc welder literally be my cool side of the week. I just think that's an awesome thing, with a secondary shout out to as I said, Google Fusion Tables, which allows anybody with a Google account to create these usable extensible application tables, data storage tables that you can use in your mobile apps. You can use them in web apps, whatever you want to. They do have a limit on the free piece of it, up to 25,000 hits per day is the most you can do. So if you get a lot of things going, I guess, you'll want to look at investing in Google to make it a little more easy. Did you have any cool sites of the week to add to us, Dick?
Oh, no, I don't. But by all means, Google Hyundai's is coming out later this year with a semi-autonomous car.
Really? Oh, well, now by semi, what do they mean by semi-autonomous? What is that going to mean?
It's called the Equus, and it's a model that they've had, right? Mm-hmm. But basically on the highway, and first of all, in stop and go traffic, it'll drive for you, and on the highway, it'll drive for you.
Oh, wow. That is insane. You know, and I've always found humor in that brand name too, the Hyundai Equus, because of two things. One is, hey, why don't you get a horse? And that Equus, of course, is Latin for horse. But then also too, you're about the age, you might have actually gone and see this, Dave. Wasn't there a major play called Equus where everybody was naked, right? That's like all I know about it.
Oh, that's right, come to think of it. And I think it was actually made into a movie. I think Richard Burton was in it. And I remember his famous line that he would get rid of his tension by clenching his toes. And because of the lack of clothing, he couldn't do that.
His toes is what he would clench, is it? All right. I don't know that clenching toes when I was up on stage naked would help me. I'd be clenching something else, I think.
I can't actually remember if any of this is true, whether the nudity or any of that. I'm, fragments of memory.
Well, you know what? I'll throw it out there as our, this is our completely non-geek trivia question of the week. Was there really a play called Equus, and how many individuals in it were naked at all times during the show? Yeah. Let us know. And okay.
Well, we know there definitely was a play.
Yes.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's my memory is not necessarily great, but I think that's in there somehow with that and all that. So that's why I say it is that every time I see a Hyundai Equus, those two things are going through my mind. So the fact that it's going to be semi-autonomous, horses have been semi-autonomous for years too. So it also fits.
Yeah, sometimes they're very autonomous. I got to go.
All right,
we'll
Dave.
See you later.
Stay away from those cows. Gosh darn it, they're dangerous. And we'll have a great Easter, too, if you celebrate that, or Passover or Pachik or any of the many things that are happening this holiday weekend. And shouts out to your Jay. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Have a wonderful holiday. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Dave Sparky Saganaki. That was him. You know what? We got Rob shot first. Rob Rigel up on next deck. I'm going to throw out, I might have played this one recently. I don't remember. I love it though. Anyways, it's called Love Lost by the Temper Trap off of their album Conditions. You've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Don't turn that dial. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful, exciting, happy Easter weekend if you celebrate it as well. That's all, folks. This is Love Lost with the Temper Trap.
Machines can do the work.